when elite U.S. media were vigorously endorsing the coup in Bolivia. Exhibit A were claims of fraud from the Organization for American States around the October election that reelected President Evo Morales. A New York Times editorial referred to the highly fishy vote on October 20th, linking that phrase to one of its own articles that cited the withering assessment of the election's integrity from the OAS. The Washington Post went further, claiming that Bolivia's electoral tribunal had moved to falsify election results and stating boldly, without evidence, that a majority of Bolivians wanted Morales to leave office. In real time, the Center for Economic and Policy Research called foul on the OAS's fraud analysis. It wasn't terribly hard. The OAS discounted the fact that precincts reporting early can be different than those that report late. But that call out was widely ignored. So the Center for Economic and Policy Research asked researchers at the MIT Election Data and Science Lab to see if they could corroborate that analysis. And lo and behold, MIT researchers now say there is not any statistical evidence of fraud and that the OAS's statistical analysis and conclusions would appear deeply flawed. And now here comes the Washington Post, who a few months back ran the editorial, "Bolivia is in danger of slipping into anarchy, it's Evo Morales' fault," now publishing that MIT assessment as analysis. And here's Reuters, who, as Joe Emmersberger notes for Fair.org, ran dozens of stories regurgitating the OAS claim without noting any challenges to it, also reporting that assessment. So journalistically, the attitude appears to be, okay, we said a thing and it turned out to be unsupported, whatever, here's another thing. But the thing is, the OAS's disparagement of the Bolivian election, pumped up unquestioningly by influential U.S. media, contributed mightily to violent protests that, combined with the actions of Bolivia's military and police, forced Morales to resign and flee the country. Dozens of people have been killed protesting the ensuing dictatorship, which openly says they'll arrest Morales if he returns to Bolivia. So a serious press corps would examine their own biases that led them to insufficiently interrogate the OAS line and actually engage with vigor the political reality of Bolivians whose interests they were claiming to be concerned with. But let's not hold our breath. And Michael Bloomberg's presidential candidacy is a thing of the past, but elections are about ideas as much as anything. And Bloomberg's minted in the spotlight unearthed one idea that, in the words of economist Dean Baker, shows that pernicious right-wing nonsense never dies, no matter how many times it is shown to be wrong. In this case, it's the useful right-wing fable that the Great Recession was caused because lenders were forced to give mortgages to people of color who couldn't pay them back. Well, listeners may know that video clips surfaced of Michael Bloomberg giving this line in a 2008 speech. That might have been a chance for media to debunk again the disparaging myth. Instead, the New York Times gave space to right-wing journalist Christopher Caldwell to say that Bloomberg was right. The line, Dean Baker explains, is that banks were forced against their better judgment to make black people homeowners by the 70s Community Reinvestment Act that required banks to make loans in the neighborhoods where they took deposits. It was a response to redlining, wherein banks would open branches in black and brown neighborhoods, but then all the loans would go to predominantly white neighborhoods. The other boogeyman is the quasi-governmental Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who were told encouraged the issuing of bad mortgages. But as Baker points out in truthout.org, the worst loans were issued by banks not covered by the CRA, like Ameriquest and New Century, who got their money by selling bonds on Wall Street. In terms of buying subprime loans, Fannie and Freddie were losing market share to investment banks like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. For a simple reason, mortgage banks issued bad mortgages An investment bank securitized them in mortgage-backed securities to make money, not to comport with government regulation. It might be useful to remember it differently, of course. The financial crisis and the housing bubble that preceded it represent risks that, as Baker explains, were easy to see for those paying attention, but the so-called experts dropped the ball at enormous cost to tens of millions of people. That some now want to blame people of color and those who sought to help them is a tired surprise, a thoroughly debunked idea that has to be denounced as such when and where it occurs, even if that's in the course of a distracting presidential election. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group FAIR.